So you got to remember, it's only a holiday in the United States today anyway, right? And it's a holiday that celebrates our fallen, our veterans who died in the act of duty, in the line of duty. A lot of people did a special workout today, the MRF, which celebrates Michael Murphy, a Navy SEAL. So it's not happy Memorial Day or anything like that. It's a somber thing. But we still ran a show because, one, we forgot it was Memorial Day on scheduling purposes. And two, where else are we going to find legendary coach Don Saxby sitting still for a minute?
Trains people who want to be professional fighters, amateur fighters, actors, a plus size model. He trains people to become boxers, and he's amazing. This is his very first show.
This is his big show. So here we go. We're going to drag him into the backpack.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Kerry Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
Welcome on back to the Backpack Show. We've got a few announcements to remind you of. This show is going back to daytime on July
12th.
12th. That was so close. 12th.
It sounds so far away, but it's only because the very first week that we would be broadcasting in July would be the week of July 5th, which is a holiday week.
We're taking that week off. So you got to go find something else to do with your time. You can't hang out with us.
Stop it. We will miss you, but we'll be off that week, and then we'll come back at 10 a.m. Eastern starting July 12th.
Okay, that one. We'll miss you. Fine.
Was there another announcement you wanted to make?
It seems like a good announcement.
Oh.
You know, we had Eleanor Traubman on the other day, and we had a great time with her. Super
talked with her
time.
About My Local Heroes, which is the series she does about people in the neighborhood that are doing great things.
Mostly around Brooklyn right now, but, you know, could be worldwide someday. And she said after the show, she's like, oh, it was a really, really great show. And then 5 seconds later, you know who you really got to get, though? Don Saxby. We're like, what? Come on, you were just a guest. She's like, you got to get this man. He is amazing. And I'd already seen her article about him on her website, so I knew he was cool, but I didn't think he'd say yes to us.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why he did, but I'm excited.
Think of the pull we have. Think of the panache.
I have no pull.
As the French say, the je ne sais quoi, or I don't know what.
Is it somebody's birthday today? Did I read that somewhere, Elizabeth?
I think you're right. I think it's Elizabeth's birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Elizabeth.
Happy birthday to you. There we go. We did it.
Jazzy. Should celebrate with the Backpack Show.
Yeah.
By talking to a legendary wrestling coach.
Yeah. Let's get some boxing in here. Ready? Okay. So, coach, first episode of a show done like this video with us. Is this as spooky as getting in the ring with somebody, or is this nothing?
It's nothing.
I knew you'd say
I'm excited because it's my first podcast ever. I've been offered so many podcasts to attend, but this is my first. I said, you know what? Let me give it a shot. And who else?
I'm so excited. Thank you for choosing us.
Yeah, why'd you say us to, though? You know, like, we don't know anything about this stuff. You can make up all the details.
Eleanor. It has to be Eleanor.
I said you guys because I can tell you anything.
That's a good plan. Okay.
Yes, actually, you know, start with something you've never told anybody before because it's embarrassing or like a little scandalous. It's okay because it's us.
Who's going to know?
How about the other day? I parked my car, right? Went downstairs and I forgot where I parked it. It's never happened to me ever. I said, am I getting old? And I walked up and down the block, hitting my alarm, and my car was parked across the street from me. That's not even funny. I'm like, no, that's not.
It is funny. It's funny, Don.
And maybe I need to take some focus factor, whatever that stuff is called. I don't know, something.
No, I think you're good. Okay, probably.
I know where my car is.
You know, if you don't usually have that spot across the street, I think mentally that's a glitch. Like if you usually park it kind of in the same spot and then you get a different spot one day, even if it's better, you forget. Yeah. So I don't think it's you, Don.
Thank you. You're the best, Kerry.
You're welcome.
So, Coach, we have a lot to cover. We got to talk a little bit about what you're doing over at Gleason's Gym. We got to talk about the mix of people you get there to train. So I imagine you've got your regulars and then you've got your kind of special occasion or special situation kind of people. How did that start? How do people start to get into, like, was it a meat and potatoes gym for a while and then it started to develop this reputation that fancy people started coming, or how did that work out?
Yeah, well, when I first had gotten into Gleason's, you know, God bless his soul, my trainer, which is Tony Trickman Norris, Anthony Trickman Norris, he brought me to Gleason's in 1988. And I was a fighter, obviously. I was, you know, amateur turned into a pro. And at the time, the way Dumbo looks now is amazing, because it's like, you know, it's a very, very expensive place to live. But at the time, you wouldn't dare go to Dumbo. It was like the most scariest place to go. I mean, I'm a kid from the street, so I didn't really worry too much about it. But, you know, it's just the transformation and the way it is now is unbelievable. You know, but you see people come in there from all different walks of life. You know, you have your lawyers. I mean, you have your drug dealers. You have every walk of life. You have doctors. You know, you have everybody, kids growing up into world champions, kids, people coming off the streets, everything, you know, whatever, and I'm almost sure with Gleason's, I know it has this attraction. It attracts everyone and anyone. And I've seen it so much in and out. And then when I became a trainer, I really, really started experiencing, as a trainer, you experience so many different things and so many different people. So it's, you know, Gleason's is the move. It has a certain aura. It has a history. And everybody, I mean, from all over the world wants to have that Gleason's experience. No matter what it is, whether it's boxing or just the fact that Gleason's has such a great reputation. He has the oldest living boxing gym in the world.
So it sounds like the hotel in John Wick. Like everybody goes there.
Now, when was it, or when did it become even more popular that you brought so many women fighters into the ring? Because you have quite a roster, and you yourself have trained a whole bunch of women, including, I heard, a pregnant plus-size model.
I don't know if she was pregnant at the time, Ashley Graham.
No, she wasn't pregnant at the time.
Thank goodness.
She wasn't pregnant at the time. And you be careful about saying that about her, because she's got some good hands. So you don't
know. She has at least one baby. Come on now. I was gonna say, I remember her body positive posts during that time. That's how I first got to know her.
She's such an amazing, amazing person. And, you know, it was nice for me to have the pleasure of training her. And at one point, 2015, I had 5 cameo appearances on America's Next Top Model. So people were like, "You were on America's?" Yeah, I was. And I was like, I didn't really think too much into it. But the mere fact that I was just on the show and has all those appearances, that's a lot for me. That's a lot of appearances for just a 45-minute to an hour show.
And, I think, you know, people don't realize how what good exercise it is. Is the reason, like, a lot of people don't think about boxing, but it's a total body workout.
It really is. For me, it's the best workout. You know, I mean, you have your triathlons and all the stuff, you know, you have to work out and train for that stuff. For boxing, it's a totally different beast. Like, I train, like, top athletes. I mean, really, really top athletes. And once they transition to boxing to learn that, they can't hang. It's like, it's a different animal. It's a different animal. I mean, they're athletic. They could do it. But, you know, the way I am, I'm a monster. So, you know, this is... You have to learn. You have to train hard when you come with me. And so they're like, once their season is over, they come to boxing. They want to learn that. They love it.
Coach, I'm looking at all the things you offer there, though. It is impressive that Gleason's has so many ways to reach out to so many different people who have different abilities, right? You've got a Parkinson's class, an autism class, a veterans, and, you know, all kinds of other classes. When did that start coming about? When did Gleason's be more than just a bunch of fellas, you know, hitting the gloves?
Hey, listen, you know what? I think in any sport, not just boxing, but in any sport, they should have that to offer. You know, because remember, these sports figures, they have a voice. They have aura. They have experience in certain situations, and they have what you call things that they can give. You know, so I figured, why not reach out to the people that have autism? Why not reach out to people that have Parkinson's and stuff like that? You know, Gleason's, they made, you know, I'm proud of them. I'm happy to be a part of Gleason's because they did that. And you watch stuff like that. Like, I haven't participated in training any of the Parkinson's or autism, but I watch it, and I'm amazed. You know, you'd be surprised that some of them are actually very, very good. Outside of them being having Parkinson's, outside of them being autistic, you'd be surprised at the concentration that they have. And it's amazing, I'm like, if they can do it, anybody can do it.
Now, what about actually trying to look like you can do it when you don't know how to do it? Like somebody who gets a role and they're going to play a boxer, but they've never done it. How quickly can you get them up to speed? And what does that take?
Very fast. Very fast. You just got to know what you're doing. Like, I have a company, which I call Boxing Made Easy. And my slogan is, because it should be easy, as 1, 2, 3, which is left jab is 1, right hand is 2, and the left hook is 3. So it should be that easy. So I'm an LLC. So I call it Boxing Made Easy LLC, because I make boxing it very, very simple. It shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, you have some people that teach easier than others. I think I'm just like a born teacher. It's just something I love to do. When you love what you do, and it becomes easy and not work.
One thing I noticed over Gleason's as well is there might be about 7,000 trainers. I went to the trainers page, and like, you could scroll for quite some time on here, Coach. How many people are in there working?
Yeah. Oh, man. It's quite a few trainers there. You know, it is what it is. It's quite a few trainers there. Some former fighters turned trainers. You know, some aspiring trainers want to be trainers. Like, everybody has their own way of doing things, I guess. So, you know, I don't knock it. I just like, hey, listen, they're trying to learn. I've trained some of the trainers that are there. I'm not going to mention names, but I've trained some of the trainers that are there, you know, and they stopped fighting. They became trainers, and they're pretty good. They are.
You got to get you one of those moving pictures they've got there. Like, some people have little movies for their profile photo.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you one. Maybe your sister can hook you up. See you in action.
I don't even do that, because once I tell people, you know, Google me. Just Google me. Like, I don't see, just Google me. Going, I said, listen, my work speaks for itself. Google me. You'll see. I said, because I tell people, I'm very good. I'm not good. I'm very good.
Do people hate you when they're done, or do they love you when they're done?
Huh?
Do people hate you when they're done, or do people hate you when they're done, or do they love you when they're done?
They hate me, but they hate love me. They hate love me, but they appreciate the fact that, they hate love me. They appreciate the fact that they actually are learning. You know, see, I'm the kind of trainer I'm stubborn. You have to learn with me. You're not going to walk away from me and say, oh, I didn't learn it. I refuse. I will never give you that chance to say that about me. Ever. No one. Top level, low level, mid level, you will never get a chance to say that about me.
Well, Coach, I got to ask you something. You're also a minister. I saw there was a little bit of religion mixed in there with those gloves. Talk a little bit about that. What's that like? Yes. And what the sermon's like?
Yeah. My thing is, how I treat, I said, listen, don't play with me. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. You don't mean put the wrath of God on you. I do stuff like that. But, I that's just who I am. You know, I don't like kind of mix religion with it, but at the same time, I don't shy away from who I am. You know, I'm human. You know, I'm fallible and flawed just like the next person, but I love God. That's what it is, you know. And it's just like anybody that's in church. You know, they look at a person that's in church, and right away, if they make a mistake, they write it, oh, see, I knew you. No. Just praise, listen, everybody's born flawed. I don't care who you are. Everybody's born flawed. It just, once you get older or younger, once you come to the age of reasoning, you're held accountable for whatever you do. So everyone is, no one is, you know, exempt from making mistakes. I don't care, reverend, pastor, archbishop, whatever the case is, no one is exempt. But, you know, it's just how you approach, you know, your situation with God. And that's it. I have no heaven or hell to put anybody in. I'm just a person that loves God. And I go to church. I try to do the best that I can as a person. And that's it. That's all I can, that's all God can ask for.
Don, Eleanor asks, what do you like about training amateurs versus training professional boxers?
What I like about training amateurs is the transition. It's a transition that they make into professional boxing. I'll get back to the professional boxing question too. But what I like about amateurs, because you can't forget where you come from. Some guys, they'll train amateurs for like 2 years. And they're, okay, I'm just going to start training pros. You know, at one point, I found myself falling into that. And I said, no, Don, you can't go. You can't just train pros. You got to train amateurs. You can't forget where you come back. So they give me that balance. You know, and then I become like a father to most of them. I'm literally like a father to most of them because most of my fighters call me Pop anyway. Makes me feel old. I don't care. They call me Pop anyway. You know, they coach Pop. Some call me Don. Whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not into titles or anything like that. Just. But the thing is, I like the
Did anybody else lose volume, or is it just me?
No, we lost him.
Darn
it. So I think there might be a StreamYard issue. Yeah. Just you.
The StreamYard thing, huh?
Do stuff. Must be. Do stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did anything happen?
Tap dance. No. So we'll wait for him to come back. I think we could do our ad reads.
Let's do ad reads while we wait. A great idea. Hey, Joseph, who didn't call
right?
me today.
Every once in a while I have him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're sponsored by Castos. If you want a podcast version of what we do here on this show, go to Castos to get your own, or just go anywhere as a podcast for us.
It's audio version. Audio version of your show.
Yeah, that. Hey, do you want a dot online domain? You can get one for $1. Just use code Chris. Go to cbrogan.me/online. You can get it.
I wonder if boxing.online is available.
Ooh, that'll be a biggie.
Right?
Hey, would you like to have a video show? You can have one with StreamYard, especially when it works well. Go to cbrogan.me/StreamYard. You could do it. And we're sponsored by Presearch. Do you ever want a really cool search engine that's not Google? This is the thing. Presearch.com. This is the search engine I've been using straight for 4 weeks. So far so good. And we had Don.
Because I think Don was back, but he didn't realize we could see him. So he'll be back in a minute.
Back in a flash.
Joseph says, I know I owe you a call. Elizabeth says, boxing is an intense workout. I was doing it before the pandemic, going to boxing class a couple times a week with a trainer from Alabama at a local gym. Man, it kicked my ass. It was so good. And I love this too. Everyone's born flawed. All right. Looks like Don's coming back in. Grab him right away, I would say. And we'll just see what condition the connection is in. How about that?
Let's try it.
Okay. Hello.
We're back. It's good.
I think so.
I'm back. If you can hear me.
Yes, sir. Hello? So when you're, yes. Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. I'm extremely perfect. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Listen,
I apologize. I really
please don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If you asked me to train Usher for an upcoming movie role where he plays a boxer, I couldn't do shit. So don't worry about it. We all have our areas of expertise. Please don't worry about it. But when you're backstage, we see you, but we don't hear you. So just so you know.
I see. Okay. You can hear me now.
So, yes.
You're up and on the screen. So
we're back.
Tell me one thing about things like Usher. What's the difference between when you have a celebrity in the ring versus when you've got an amateur in the ring?
I treat them both the same. And this is little do coaches know. Like I see coaches train celebrities and they like treat them like they put them on a pedestal. I don't put them on a pedestal. I treat them just as if they're fighters like anybody else. You can't hit the, I'll hit my fighters when they make a mistake. But the actor, obviously, you know, you can't hit them because they can't have their faces messed up. But like guys like Usher, who was tough, I don't, you know, I push them around, I shove them, I do everything to them. And, you know, I just treat them just like a regular fighter. And this is what they want. This is exactly what they want. You know, I have several actors that I've trained. This is what they love that. They don't want to be treated any different than anyone else.
Well, because they need to look like a real boxer, right? But I attract them. They need to look like they know how to box, yeah, but yeah, a model that comes to like you for conditioning. Boxing.
Yeah.
What is it different when you're training someone who's there for physical conditioning, like a model, as opposed to an actor who wants to learn boxing to look like they know how to box? Do you know what I mean? Do you treat them any differently, or is it the same for everyone?
It is different. It's the same for everyone to a certain degree, because once you understand what they're actually there for, you take emphasis off of certain situations that you're working with them in. So like for Usher, you know, we treated like a real boxing situation. Like I really trained him as a fighter, like a really hard nosed fighter. And he did a little sparring at one point. He did a little sparring, like real life sparring with one of my pros. And as opposed to like Ashley Graham, I put it through like a fitness workout, but a boxing fitness workout. And I torture her. I, you know, like I said, I treat the actors no different than I do the actual fighters. The only difference, honestly, is that the actual fighters are actually fighting, where the actors, they're just training really, really hard. And they're just for good health, I guess, for whatever reason that they're doing it. Some just love boxing. I mean, you have a lot of celebrities that love boxing. And they love the sport. They love the science of it. They love the art of it.
Janice wanted to know, do you have a favorite movie featuring boxing?
Oh, do I have a favorite movie? I think the very first Rocky movie was one. And also, what was the one that James Earl Jones was in? The first one with Jack, when he played Jack Johnson. What's that movie? James Earl Jones played Jack Johnson. And what was it? Oh my God.
Great White Hope.
I don't remember the movie. Great White Hope. That's it. I love that movie.
That's when you go back and you watch James Earl Jones, you know, before he was kind of an older gentleman, and realize that guy looked like he could throw down.
Right.
What was that reality show about boxing? The Contender?
The Contender, yes. That was the real deal, though. Those guys are real.
Was it?
Huh?
Did he used to watch that and be like, oh, they got that right?
Yeah. No, these guys were actually fighting. They were real fights. It wasn't like a stage. It wasn't stage. It was actually real fights. You know, you had Sugar Ray Leonard. You had Tommy Gallagher. You had Sylvester Stallone there. You know, but they were actually really real fights.
I have a question, and I don't know if you can weigh in on this one, Coach, is that there's all these YouTube celebrities that are suddenly doing these exhibition matches and all that, and they're doing real life boxing. Some of those guys are trying to get in the ring with Mayweather and all that. What's your take on all that?
You know, I like it and I don't like it. I like it because, you know, listen, Mayweather, once you box Mayweather, hell, I'll box Mayweather. I'll fight him in a minute. That's like he's a cash cow of boxing. It's like that's a huge check. Who wouldn't? But at least, you know, I mean, if you're gonna get your butt kicked, at least get paid for it. You know what I mean? So, but then you have these guys that they've been YouTubers for so long, and they have so many gazillion followers. I guess people follow them. They're attracted to some people are attracted to shenanigans. They are, you know, people love controversy, shenanigans, and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't knock it. Hey, listen, if you're making a dollar doing it, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not a hater at all. So, and listen, I just say, but as a real boxing coach, you know, you kind of like it's not boxing. Scott's not a real boxer. You know, he's learned boxing. He's, you know, he's been around the gym and he's sparred. He's done. He's been around good fighters and stuff like that. But I guess they just take whatever they're doing. They have a little plan. And so they just put it in motion. They use YouTube as a platform. And they, hey, listen, they run with it. And if it works and they're making money doing it, by all means, like I said, you know, go ahead, make. They're going to give you $1 million as a YouTube fighter. Why not? Do it. By all means. I would.
It'd be the most lucrative 30 seconds of your life.
And I can fight. Dude, I'm telling you, it'll be the best 30 seconds of my life. And I'm making money doing it. That's the thing.
What's something you can tell people if they're getting ready to consider going to a place like Gleason's for their first lesson and all that? How do you get them from feeling a little bit nervous before they go in and, you know, dare to pick up the gloves?
You know what I would tell them? I said, listen, when you go in there, go in open-minded. Go in, and even if you do know a little bit about boxing, realize that you're dealing with, like, guys, this is their expertise. It's just like me learning how to use a computer, not going there and pretending that I know how to use a computer when I really don't. Don't go in there and pretend that you know what you're talking about when you don't. So even if, like, a new person, they don't know anything about boxing, I say keep it as just that. You know, just pray that you're directed to the right coach. Like, I'm not going to say all coaches are good because they're not. You know, I'm not going to say all coaches are bad because they're not. You know, but just hope and pray that you're directed to the right coach. And that you'll be taught well, you know. But so you have some that come in there with their own preconceived notions, like, okay, yeah, this is what I want to do. This one, and we look, because I've accounted it. I had guys coming in, yeah, I want to learn this. I want to do this. I like that picture. That's my dad. My dad's deceased. I just eulogize my dad. I like those pictures. That's my dad. He's my first coach. You guys trying
I'm
to.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Come on, that's you guys. Oh, I love you guys, but I don't like you guys. But that was good. But you come in there, you come in with your own preconceived notions. Like I said, I've encountered it. And you just look at the guy, I'm like, okay, let me see what you got. In the meantime, you know, I can look at a fighter 15 seconds or 20 seconds into his shadow boxing or his movement. Yeah, I'm an artist also. I draw.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually an artist. I've been drawing since I was 5 years old. Never been to an art school in my life. This is just a wow. Gift. I can draw anything. I'll just sit down and just draw it. I kid you not.
Look at the king right
I
there.
I kid you not. Yeah, that's one of my clients. That's their dog.
It's beautiful.
I drew it for him. Yeah.
Coach, yeah, I had a question from one of the folks in our audience, by the way, which was Coach Woodard asked the question, what's your motivation to begin training? What made you start to be a trainer and hang up your own gloves?
My motivation, because I wanted to do what I wanted to do with my fighters as opposed to what I didn't do. Like, I had all the talent in the world. I really did. Like, if I would have took it as serious as I should have, I would have became world champ, and I know it. I have certain, like, former world champs. They see this guy right here. If he'd have took it as serious, he would have been world champ. This is the most successful, unsuccessful guy ever. So I just laugh at that. I'm like, you know, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, it just wasn't for me. Not saying that I didn't want it, but I was a street kid. I was in and out of the gym, not in and out of trouble, but in and out of the gym. I was a street kid. I had my share of trouble. Don't get me wrong, you know, I've been down and I've done some things and that I'm not proud of, but at the same time, I'm glad I came out of it. You know, I could have been either dead or locked up or whatever, you know, but I'm glad I came out of it. And my motivation for training the people now, being that I hang it up, is this: I love the joy of seeing people happy and win. That's one of my biggest things. I love to see my people win. I love to see them win because of the effort that they put forth. They win because they listen. They win because they trusted me. I trusted them as
a little bit of a lag there.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Got it. I did that one good. I cut that one off. Okay. Yeah, so that's it. That's my motivation, just to watch people do what I could have done. And I'm not living vicariously through them. It's just like, yeah, I'm good at this. I'm good at this. So I'm like, I'm happy about being a coach.
We had a question from Eleanor. Who were some of your inspirations growing up, and what impact did they have on your life choices, your approach to living and working? It's a multi-part question.
As a fighter, Sugar Ray Leonard, and actually Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Sugar Ray Robinson, and Marvin Hagler as well. Those were some of my favorites. And my inspiration actually was my dad. He was my first coach. And what I loved about my dad, because he had to work and take care of our family, you know, he decided that I needed to get another coach, but make sure I got a coach that knew what they were doing. And lo and behold, where I'm living at now is my former coach's old apartment. You know, and so who would have ever thought, you know? And so, I mean, he died like 2 years ago, but he was my inspiration. Like whenever I wasn't sure about how to approach a certain situation with a fighter or how to get them to do a certain thing, I would go to him. See, I always tell coaches and anybody for that matter, for whatever walk of life, if you're your own teacher, you have a fool for a teacher. You have to have somebody, you have to have an overseer. You have to have somebody over you that can tell you, no, do it this way. It's easier like this. It's easier like that. And he was my professor. I always called Anthony Trickman Norris my professor. When I wasn't sure about something, I would shoot over to his house and listen, how do I get this guy to do this a whole lot easier? And he would say, get up, let me show you. And I you know, I'm good. I said, I was okay, not gonna go teach my guy. This is how we do it. And he was, like I said, he was my professor. I miss him dearly. So anytime I'm working with one of my fighters, like I really, really concentrate and I start thinking about him. And all of a sudden, just, I don't know, maybe the boxing cause allows his spirit to talk to me. And I just tell my fighter, this is how we do it. So he's taught me how to be creative. So you never teach a person how to throw a punch in a certain situation. You teach them how to throw the punch and tell them why. Like, and it always stuck with me. Anybody can throw a 1-2, you tell them to throw a 1-2 a particular way, but you have to tell them why.
So that, Coach, like related said, that to that, would you say that people are willing to learn all the fundamentals and the blocking and all that sort of thing, or do they want to rush into the how do I get to be flashy? What's your take on people these days versus the old days? Is it any different?
Yeah, people in the old days, we're a lot more. And like, you know how you see people doing the mitts and people doing all that stuff. We didn't do all of that when I was fighting. I didn't do all of that. You got in the ring and you learned the hard way. You either move your head or you get hit. Simple. You know, you hit the heavy bag, your trainers, they teach you how to move and use your hands. But now it's like, it works. They're called with the focus mitts. They work, you know, but at the end of the day, you never know who you're fighting. Just because I'm throwing a certain punch at you doesn't mean that your opponent is going to throw that same punch or that particular way that I'm throwing it. You know, so they are just focus mitts. It's a teacher. I use the focus mitts mostly for beginners just to teach them, or just a client just to teach them. Let's do it this way, step this way. You know, they kind of, it's a fad. For me, it's like a fad. It's good because it's called focus mitts and it teaches you how to focus. But at the same time, it's not the fight. Mitts hit back, but they don't hit back, not like the opponent. That's my take on, you know, these guys want to be flashy soon. I'm like, no, patience is the biggest key in boxing. You have to be patient. And that's perfect. The first thing I promote. That's the first thing.
Patience.
When it comes to boxing, you have to be patient.
That is a key. I'm having impatience with how unfortunate our poor connection is, but we're really fighting through it. We're struggling with it. Listen, we're going to do the person of the day, and then I'm going to ask you the backpack question. We'll roll ourselves on out of here. So stop.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
And I don't see how it could be. I don't know. There's two choices I could make, but I'm going to give it to Eleanor because she was our past guest and she's been in here asking some good questions. So I'll make her person of the day. She's in on that. And then we're going to ask Coach the backpack question. By the way, Coach Woodard, just checking to see if something came in your mail recently. feel free to leave a little comment to that regard. Okay. And this is the question we've asked every guest who's ever been on here. Anybody from Sir Mix-a-Lot to five-time world beatboxing champion Butterscotch. What goes in your backpack? This could be something physical. It could be something metaphorical. Carrie, for example, what's something physical Coach could have added to the backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. How do you know when you're not going to need one of those? What is something metaphorical he could add to the backpack?
Kindness.
Oh, that's a goodie. I like kindness. Coach Don Saxby, trainer, legendary. Tell me, what goes in your backpack?
You know you lost it. You should not just lose it right now.
You mutter.
Too much ramp up to the backpack question.
I try to give them a minute so they can think of an answer, but oh my gosh.
Well, that stinks.
Coach Don Saxby. Well, we got a great answer out of him. Patience, you know, the gloves don't hit back. I mean, the mitts don't hit back. We got some we got some good meat off this.
He would scare me. I would be scared to train with him.
Gosh, he's serious. He's the real deal.
That's the thing. Like you're saying, you want to know how to be flashy. He's not your guy, I feel like.
Yeah. So. I don't want to be hit by Coach, and I don't want to be pinched by my grandmother. All right, this has happened twice.
Yes, Coach, you know you.
Quick, what goes in the backpack? What goes in?
It's my first podcast, and it's like
this. Hey, it's not you. It's just the. Oh, it's just the. It's not you.
Quick, what goes in the backpack?
The connection. What goes in the backpack?
What goes in? What would you like to put in there? Either something physical or metaphorical.
You're really not going to tell us. I give up.
Maybe it was a fist.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Not you. It's totally the network.
Because they see this stuff going on. Say that again.
That is. What goes in your backpack for success? What's the one thing, real or metaphorical, that you need to succeed?
The 5P concept. And I call it proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Mm. We'll take it, Coach. We'll take it. All right. We're going to hit this button and get us off the air.